Ever catch yourself wondering, like, are you really reading? We're just kind of glazing over the words.
Yeah, I think we've all been there,
Right?
especially, with all the screens and everything these days.
So get this. Some researchers wanted to see if they could use AI to tell the difference
Oh, wow.
between like true reading engagement and just going through the motions.
Interesting. It's like, are they trying to build a fitness tracker for your mind
Yeah.
instead of your body?
That's a really good way to put it.
What kind of research went into this?
So they published this fascinating study
Okay.
where they outfitted seven college students, all from computer science backgrounds, by the way, with a
Interesting.
whole bunch of sensors, and basically told them to go about their lives for 2 weeks.
2 weeks. That's dedication. What kind of sensors are we talking about here?
They have these special glasses called Jin's Me glasses,
Okay.
which that sounds way cooler than like
Yeah.
your average pair. These glasses use this thing called electrocardiography,
Wow.
EOG for short, to track like the tiny electrical signals your eye movements make.
So they're monitoring eye movements down to like a super precise
Yeah,
level.
exactly.
Wow.
But they didn't stop there.
Oh, there's more.
They also threw in a Fitbit,
Okay.
a tiny camera snapping a photo every 30 seconds,
Wow.
and even an eye tracker for certain activity.
Oh my gosh.
They wanted to paint the most complete picture possible of these students' daily routines.
It sounds like they went all out.
Oh, yeah.
But how do you even begin to analyze all of that data? 2 weeks worth of sensor readings from multiple devices?
Right.
That's a lot to sift through.
It's a ton. And remember,
Yeah.
the goal here wasn't just to see if someone was reading,
Right.
but to differentiate between what they called controlled reading
Yeah.
and natural reading.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Controlled reading being like, okay, I'm sitting down with this book, it's quiet, I'm gonna focus. Versus natural reading, which is more like, what, I'm grabbing a magazine article while I'm on the go,
Yeah.
or maybe, scrolling through a news website, something like that.
You got it.
Okay.
And that distinction was a big deal for this research.
Yeah.
See, a lot of earlier studies focus mainly on controlled reading because it's, well, easier to control,
Right,
right?
of course, yeah.
But these researchers, they figured that figuring out natural reading, that's where the real challenge lay.
That makes sense because most of us don't spend all day like in a soundproof booth reading scientific journals.
Right.
It's the more spontaneous in the wild reading that's probably the
Yes.
bulk of, how we consume text.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So to tackle this, they had their participants do both.
Okay.
They had set times for controlled reading sessions where the students read pre-selected documents, but then they also let them loose to read whatever they wanted, websites, books, even just typing on a computer,
Okay.
all while wearing their sensor rig.
Wow. So they had this mountain of data for
Yeah.
both types of reading. What
Yes.
did they do with all of it? Did they
Yeah.
just feed it to one massive algorithm and hope for the best?
Not quite.
Okay.
They actually tested out three different approaches to see which one could most accurately identify
Okay.
when someone was reading.
Three different methods. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm definitely intrigued now. What were they?
Well, the first method they called manual feature extraction.
Okay.
Essentially, they had their team analyze the sensor data,
Okay.
but they were specifically looking for very particular things,
Okay.
like how often someone blinked, the patterns in their eye movements, how still their head was,
Right.
those sorts of telltale signs that we often associate with focused reading.
So they basically had humans try to pinpoint the reading behaviors first, like
Yes.
creating a sort of reading fingerprint almost.
Exactly.
Okay.
Then once they had all of these manually extracted features, they fed them into an algorithm called a support vector machine, or
Yeah,
SVM.
got it.
This SVM's job was basically to classify if someone was reading or not based on those predetermined features.
Okay, so it's like they taught the algorithm what to look for
Yes.
based on what humans already recognize as reading behavior.
Right.
Makes sense.
Exactly.
But what about the other two approaches?
Yeah.
You said they were going for the AI angle
Yes.
more so.
They did.
Okay.
For their second approach, they brought in a convolutional neural network,
Okay.
or CNN.
CNN. All right.
This type of AI is known for being really good at finding patterns in images.
Right.
But in this case, they fed it the raw sensor data directly
Oh, wow.
and let the CNN figure out on its own which features mattered most for identifying reading.
Interesting. So no more pre-selected features. They just unleashed the CNN on this mountain of data
Yes.
and let it draw its own conclusions. I'm guessing that leads to some
It does.
interesting results.
It definitely does.
Okay.
But we'll delve into those results and their third, even more intriguing AI-powered method.
I love that.
Right after. All right, so we've got these researchers, they're sensor-clad students, and two very different ways of analyzing the data. One with humans handpicking the reading cues, and another letting a convolutional neural network, or CNN, find its own patterns.
Right.
What was their third approach?
So their third method used what's called a long short-term memory network, or LSTM.
Okay.
This one is fascinating because it's specifically designed to analyze what's called time series data.
Okay.
The kind of continuous stream of information these sensors were collecting.
Ah, so while the CNN might be great at spotting patterns within, like a snapshot of data.
Yes.
The LSTM is looking at the bigger picture, how those patterns change and evolve over time.
Exactly.
Okay.
Imagine like this. The CNN might see a single frame of someone with their head tilted down, eyes darting back and forth, and think, that looks like reading.
Right.
But the LSTM sees the frames before and after, noticing maybe they were just looking for something in their bag a moment ago and then went back to, like, scrolling through their phone.
Right.
It gives the AI a sense of context that the CNN alone doesn't have.
That's a great way to illustrate it. It seems like each of these methods, the manual feature extraction, the CNN, and the LSTM, bring something unique to the table.
They do.
But how did they actually stack up? Could they accurately distinguish between reading and, you know, non-reading activities?
Well, when it came to controlled reading, remember, those sessions with the pre-selected documents.
Right.
All three methods performed quite well.
Okay.
Which honestly, isn't that surprising?
Yeah, you'd think so.
It's a pretty controlled environment, a clear task.
Yeah.
You'd expect even basic algorithms to do well there.
You'd think so, but it is interesting that even in that scenario, the researchers found the support vector machine, the one based on, you know, the manually defined features, actually slightly outperformed the CNN and the LSTM. It's like for that very specific, focused type of reading, those hand-picked cues were all the algorithm really needed.
Right. Sometimes the simpler approach works wonders.
Yeah.
But where things get really interesting is when they looked at the natural reading data.
Okay.
Remember, that's where things were supposed to get trickier.
Right.
All those spontaneous moments of engaging with text in the chaos of daily life.
And did the accuracy drop when they moved to the natural reading scenarios? I can't imagine it was easy for the AI to filter out all the noise of everyday life.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Okay.
The accuracy did indeed drop for all three methods when faced with the unpredictable nature of natural reading.
Okay.
But even then, the CNN and the LSTM, those deep learning approaches, consistently outperform the SVM.
So even amidst all the complexities of everyday life, those AI-powered methods were still picking up on the subtler cues of reading.
Isn't that interesting?
That's pretty impressive. It suggests that maybe there are hidden patterns in our reading behavior.
Yes.
Things that, you know, we ourselves might not even be consciously aware of that the AI is starting to unravel.
Exactly. And that's where this research goes from being just about tracking reading to something much more profound.
Right.
It's like holding up a mirror to our own minds.
Yeah.
Revealing the hidden complexities of something we often take for granted.
Yeah.
But before we get too philosophical,
okay,
let's talk about some of the challenges they encountered trying to pin down what natural reading really means.
Okay.
Remember those blurry lines we mentioned earlier?
Yes.
Turns out, even defining that for the AI was no walk in the park.
Yes. The eternal struggle of defining something.
I know, right?
As nuanced and multifaceted as reading for an algorithm.
Right.
What were some of the hurdles they faced?
Well, consider this. Right. Is scrolling to your Instagram feed considered reading?
Ooh.
What about watching a movie with subtitles? Or how about listening to an audiobook? Is that a form of reading?
Yeah.
These are the kinds of questions that even humans grapple with.
Right, exactly.
So imagine trying to teach an AI to make those distinctions.
It highlights a crucial point. Even something as seemingly simple as reading is laden with context, interpretations, objective experience.
Yes.
It's not always a clear-cut, black-and-white activity.
No.
So how did the AI fare when faced with these gray areas? Did it stumble at all?
It did. For example, there were times when the AI misclassified web browsing as not reading.
Okay.
Which, on the surface, might seem a bit off, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, web browsing definitely involves a lot of reading, even if it's not always the most, like, focused kind.
It's true, but I wonder if it points to a limitation in the way that the AI was trained.
Yeah.
Perhaps the constant barrage of images, videos, you know, dynamic layouts common to web browsing
right.
kind of threw the AI off track a little bit. It might have been so overwhelmed by, you know, the visual information that it missed the underlying act of reading taking place.
That's a great point. It reminds us that AI is only as good as the data it's trained on.
Exactly.
And if that data doesn't fully capture the nuances and complexities of a behavior,
right.
the AI is going to struggle to make accurate judgments.
Yeah.
But then there was a case where the AI went in the completely opposite direction.
Oh, really?
It mistook watching a video for reading.
Now that sounds intriguing. What happened there? Was the AI just seeing things?
Not exactly.
Okay.
Turns out this particular student was watching a video on a Japanese website known for its incredibly dense on-screen comments.
Oh, wow.
Imagine a constant stream of subtitles, but like amped up to 11.
Okay, yeah.
The researcher said the screen was practically overflowing with text.
Wow. In that specific context, with that sheer volume of on-screen text, the AI's classification, while technically inaccurate, starts to make a bit more sense. It wasn't just a random video. It was practically a visual novel.
Exactly. It really highlights the importance of context when we talk about AI and its ability to understand human behavior.
Right.
What might seem like a clear-cut case of reading or not reading can quickly become muddled depending on the specific situation.
Right.
But despite these challenges, the researchers were ultimately optimistic about the potential of their findings.
Okay.
They believe that with further refinement and more nuanced training data, AI could become incredibly sophisticated in its ability to not just detect reading, but to understand how we engage with information on a deeper level.
Now, that's an exciting prospect.
Right.
But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's take a moment to unpack those potential implications.
Okay.
Because if AI can truly start to understand our reading habits, it opens up a world of possibilities.
It does.
And maybe even a few questions along the way.
It's amazing to think that something we do every day, like reading,
right,
could hold so many surprises.
It really is. And it makes you wonder, what are the implications if AI can accurately track and maybe even understand our reading habits? What could we do with that kind of insight?
The possibilities are pretty mind-blowing.
Right.
On a personal level, like, imagine having this kind of window into your own cognitive patterns.
Yeah.
Want to know when you're most focused throughout the day.
Right.
Or what type of content really grabs your attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This kind of technology could tell you.
It's like having a personalized reading coach.
Yeah.
Offering data-driven suggestions for how to, I don't know, improve your comprehension.
Right.
Expand your reading horizons. Maybe even just carve out more time for, like, getting lost in a good book.
Exactly. But it goes even beyond individual use.
Right.
Think about the potential in education.
Okay. Yeah.
What if teachers had real-time feedback on which students were fully engaged and which ones were maybe struggling to stay focused?
It would revolutionize the classroom.
Right.
Teachers could instantly see which concepts were landing well, which passages were causing confusion.
Yeah.
And tailor their lessons accordingly.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be about relying on just test scores or gut feelings.
Yeah.
They'd have actual data on how students were interacting with the material in the moment.
Talk about personalized learning.
Oh, wait.
You could create a learning environment that adapts to each student's unique pace and style.
Yeah, absolutely.
No more one-size-fits-all curriculum.
Exactly.
But this technology also brings up some, I think, important questions.
Okay.
For example, like, if AI gets so good at understanding our reading habits.
Yeah.
Could it also be used to predict, like, our interests, our opinions, even our behaviors in ways we haven't even considered?
That's the other side of the coin, isn't it?
Right.
As with any powerful technology, there are always ethical considerations.
Of course, yeah.
You know, the potential for misuse is something we need to be mindful of.
Absolutely. It's a conversation we need to have as a society.
Right.
How do we balance the incredible potential benefits of this technology
right.
with the responsibility of ensuring it's used ethically and for the greater good.
It's a debate that's only going to become more important as AI continues to evolve and integrate into our lives.
It is.
But let's not lose sight of the bigger picture here.
Right.
This research, even in its early stages,
yeah.
has already given us a fascinating glimpse into the this complex interplay
yeah.
between our minds, our technology, and something as seemingly simple as reading.
It's made me think about reading in a whole new light.
Yeah.
And it makes me even more curious about what future research will uncover.
Right.
Will we one day be able to fully decode, like, the secrets of reading comprehension?
Right.
Will AI help us become better, more engaged readers?
Yeah.
Only time will tell.
I like that.
But for now, we'll leave you with this final thought. The next time you open a book, or even just like an article on your phone,
yeah.
take a moment to appreciate the incredible process happening in your mind
right.
as you decode those symbols, connect ideas, and let your imagination soar. It's a uniquely human experience mm-hmm. and one that continues to fascinate and inspire
right.
researchers and readers alike.
It really does.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep those minds engaged.